sure I didn't hit the mute button. Now, I'm on, all right. I am still pumped up for today's service. I'm excited for what today continues for the Gateway City Church. I'm excited about Lou and Tink and Linda and Jill and the work that they've done shepherding the flock. And I'm really excited for Patrick and Jeff and Shelly and Linda and the shepherding that they're going to continue. It's an incredible moment for the church and worthy of great celebration. So congratulations. All right, as you know, we are in the middle of a series talking about encounters that Jesus has with different people. And the Holy Spirit knows what we need because we are just like the men and women of the Bible. And so they have encounters with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, you need this. And so today we're going to be talking about Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And really, what this entire encounter is about is a choice to be focused on what matters most. At the end of it, Jesus says, only one thing is needed. And we're going to read this story together. Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is an encounter talking about a distracted life and a distracted situation. And Jesus focuses it all back and he says, only one thing is needed. Now, what was going on with Martha? Well, Jesus fills us in. He said, you are worried and upset about many things. Worry, and if we're really sophisticated, we never will own that we're worried. We use words like, I'm just really concerned. Because we know the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. So we never use that word. We say, I'm just really concerned about this situation. You see, worry involves the future. It hasn't happened yet. And so it's really struggling with and trusting what's going to happen an hour from now or next month or next year into God's hands. And so, you know, the psychologists tell us that 90% of what we worry about never happens. That should relieve 90% of the pressure. But you know what it actually does to a worrier? Oh no, that means 1 out of 10 of the things are spot on. Which ones are they? I better get 10 on the list so I know that one of them is going to happen, you know? You're worried and upset about many things, and you know you're in a bad place, and we can all relate to Martha, where the circumstances of life get us to a point where here's our prayer. You're at the feet of Jesus. You are right there, and here's the words we come out. Don't you care? Not praise you, love you, so great to be connected to you. What a blessing the Christian life is, being able to follow you. What a joy. No, that's not our prayer. And that wasn't Martha's prayer. Don't you care? Yeah, we live at a time when life is, at least it feels busier than it's ever been. It's hectic. We try and accomplish more things, and we're afraid that we might miss out on something that's extra great. So even if we can't make time for it, then we're worried that maybe we should have made time for it, and we're going to miss out, and we chose something that wasn't as great, and we should have made a better choice. And so as life gets hectic, we start thinking things like, how the church needs to be really sensitive to my schedule. I hope when the calendar comes out that they're very efficient with my use of time. You know, I really hope that the church is learning to do more with less. And if we hear about an event and it doesn't fall within those parameters, maybe like Martha, we go, don't you care? See, we're a lot more like Martha when we want to admit. You know, I want you to think for a moment, if you had to go under heart surgery and you had two surgeons to pick from, you had one that was very thoroughly trained, spent hours researching, hours of mentorship, hours of practice, and the other that went to heart surgery school that was sensitive to the student schedule. We don't want you to have to take all that time out of your busy life being mentored. We want to be sensitive to life. Because you know, when we were students, didn't we think life was so busy? And then you get married and you realize that what you had as a student was not busy, and now you're married, and now you're like, oh, now it's really busy. Now I have a spouse that takes time too. And then kids come along and you're like, oh man, remember those days as a student? We didn't need a calendar to plan anything because we're available all the time. Anyway, don't you care? The church is equipping the saints. We're not trying to do more with less. We're trying to do what's very, very best in our spiritual life. And so thank you, elders, for the shepherding you do. Thank you, Vince and Robin. We appreciate what you do. But Jesus says only one thing is needed. Now, let that phrase sink in. And let's go to the next slide. Okay, so here's the challenge. Stay focused. So I'm going to take you on a journey through what's on the slide. First of all, on the top left. Hopefully you recognize it. You might not recognize the bills because those are Benjamin Franklin's. That's a $100 bill. I remember the first time a $100 bill, and I'm like, and that's like a new one. That's the new design. Mm-hmm. Younger people are like, what? Oh, I didn't know Benjamin Franklin was on a bill. That's right. Money. I'll tell you this right now. Not every one of our best financial choices is a wise choice spiritually. Just because it's a good investment doesn't mean it's good for your life. How about work? There's traffic. This is actually traffic in St. Louis. I could have put a traffic on the 405 in Los Angeles, but you have traffic too. It's not as much. But sometimes we work so hard because we think that, of course, what makes sense is to get promoted. Well, what if the promotion leads to a lifestyle that doesn't help your marriage or your family or your spiritual life? Not every promotion is one you should say yes to. You know, down in the bottom middle, that's leisure time. And vacations are great. They really are. Unless you make an idol out of relaxation. And that life just revolves around the next moment that you can just relax and have leisure. And if it's delayed too much, then you're just angry and frustrated. And like Martha, you're praying to Jesus going, don't you care? All right, in the bottom right, two of my favorite things. I wish I got to eat more of them. The piece of meat is Japanese A5 Wagyu. Mm-hmm. I have never been able to buy Japanese A5 Wagyu, but my twin brother has served it to me a couple times at his house, and it gives you the lineage of the cow it came from. It's signed off by the Japanese government, and it costs about $125 per ounce. That's about a $1,000 steak right there. And then to its right is a caramel pecan Cinnabon. And not one of those ones you buy at the truck stop that sat in the box for a long time. One that's come right out of the oven. And it's soft. It's gooey. And if you're hungry right now, you're probably thinking about it. I love those things. And then the biggest box up there, because if you're a parent, it occupies a big box. A child. And you go, oh, can't wait to be an empty nester. You know what? The box stays big, yeah, even when they're an empty nester. I don't want to burst your bubble, but that's just the way it is. Oh, they leave home. Well, then just make that box twice as big. I mean, so why am I taking time to walk through? Because these are some of the things that occupy my mind. My wife laughs. Well, I don't know if she laughs at me or persecutes me or whatever. But she says, you think about food all the time. She goes, we haven't even finished one meal, and you're asking about what the plan is for the next meal. To which I said, it's a very biblical thing to enjoy food. Anyway. So those are just some distractions. Maybe you're thankful that there was a certain picture that you're thinking about. You know, you can include that as well. But here's the amazing thing. Being hospitable is a godly trait. And that is exactly what Martha was doing with Jesus. She didn't leave him out on the street. She said, you come into my home. And that's where we get into trouble. Because all these things that are distractions are good and in many cases very godly things. But when we turn them into ultimate things, we can actually get to the point where we're so distracted that we don't choose to do the one thing that matters most. Say, what's the one thing? Well, that was being connected to Jesus. Oh, yeah, you're going to see where we're going. But before I talk about water, I'm saying you have a choice every day of what matters most. Parents, you have a choice. What matters most? Here's what it looks like. And I'm just going to tell you what my heart is on this, how we parented our kids. I think they turned out pretty good. You can ask Michael later. But I think we make a mistake if out of sensitivity to our children's schedule, we skip fellowship opportunities. We say, no, if the church is meeting, I'm going to be there. Well, then they're going to get to bed past their bedtime. Well, then they'll be a little tired tomorrow. You say, well, they have a test tomorrow. Well, then study ahead of time. They have homework due in the morning. Then they're going to be up late after we get home from church or family group to do it. You say, why? Because what we're doing when we parent is teach our kids what matters most. And then they get to a point in their life where what we want them to care about most is their relationship with Jesus. But sometimes we've taught them in their upbringing that that's not really what matters most. Your schedule matters more. If you're in college right now, you should never have to pull an all-nighter. You procrastinated if you have to pull an all-nighter. You got a final the morning after midweek? You better be in the front row at midweek singing and having a good time and fully prepared so you're not stressed about your final. You're going to go in and ace it because you're already ready. You're not waiting to the last minute because you're a son or daughter of God and you can do a good job. But you have to make that choice for your family. You got to make those choices each and every day for what matters most. Okay, last Sunday we talked about living water. Well, Jesus interacted with a Samaritan woman and she's like, hey, you know, you're asking me for a drink. And you know, and Jesus is like, yeah, if you knew you were talking to, you'd get living water. Well, I'm going to continue that theme. So you've probably figured out where we're going. My absolute favorite H2O on the planet is Fiji water. I rarely buy it because it's just like, you know what, $4 for a bottle of water. I'm just like, it's H2O. But it tastes amazing. You know, on the right is a dog. And I often wonder, does a dog ever think about what happened in that toilet the other hours of the day? You know, I think for the dog, it's just, here's water. Well, I'm thirsty. I'm going to go drink it. You have a choice for what your source is going to be. Now, think about Martha and Mary. Mary chose to get connected to Jesus. Martha, you know what her source was? Getting all the preparations made. Got to make sure the house is clean. I mean, think about what cooking involved back then. It wasn't a simple, straightforward event. So she's trying to be a good host. But that gave her more satisfaction. That would solve a bigger problem to get all that taken care of than go, this is my opportunity to connect with Jesus. And maybe another way to think about it is, what bothers you more, being disconnected from Jesus or not having your schedule aligned or not having your house cleaned or not having as much money as you'd like to have? And we can start being again like Martha. Don't you care? I'll tell you, a great inspiration to me is Indu. You know what? Indu loves the Word of God. Indu gets up while it's dark outside, and he studies the Word of God. And a couple weeks ago, he led a lesson at staff meeting, and it was amazing. But when I'm around him and I hear him talk about the Bible, he just radiates enthusiasm for the Word of God. You know why? Because he sits at the feet of Jesus. And that's what happens when you're connected to Jesus. You're in to the source. But you have a choice of what the source is. I think at the greenhouse meeting, I talked about one of the detriments to being connected to the source is the verse of the day. You go, well, Ron, it's the Bible. I mean, how can the verse of the day be detrimental? Oh, there's no problem with the verse itself. But it's the idea that I'm just going to get one verse and then find a way to make it apply and go, there I go. That is like you're fully dehydrated and you take like a sip from a thimble. That's what verse of the day is. Oh, I don't want to drink a whole glass. Just a thimble. We choose. And let me tell you this. One of the greatest dangers of being connected to a bad source is the internet. I promise you won't forget this analogy. The internet is like the dog drinking out of a toilet that has floaties in it. And I am not talking about the inflatable things that go on your arm. You go, that is disgusting. Yeah, and spiritually, it's the same thing when you think because it's on the internet, it's true, and I'm going to just drink it up because it's there. We are just like the dog that hasn't done our research of what happened in there an hour before I went in to get a drink out of the toilet. Listen, the internet is full of great resources, but not all of them are great. And we got to make sure that we have made the choice to be connected to the best source. So I love the fact that we're given a choice, because, and Jesus called it that. Martha was not a victim of circumstances. He said, Mary has chosen what is best. We have a choice in those moments. And so what's some practical things that we can do to be connected? Well, let's read out of Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 37. The best practicals we can get is to imitate the one that we need to be sourced to. But Mark 1, 35 to 37. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." What did Jesus do? It says, very early in the morning, he got up and he went out to a solitary place where he prayed. So what are the things that we need to do? Okay, do you have to pray at the earliest hour of the day? I'm going to say no to that. By the way, you can pray every hour of the day. But you say, why early morning? Because it's the least distracting time in a house, especially if you have little kids at home. It is quiet. He got up. That means he was fully alert. I remember as a young Christian, I lived in a household in Chinatown in Toronto. It was really cold and we didn't have very good heat, but I had a heat blanket. And so it was cold outside. It was cold in our apartment. And so I came up with this amazing idea. I'm going to just have my quiet time in bed with me and my heat blanket. And you know what? It regularly turned into extra sleep. You got to get up. You got to be alert. I love coffee. Jesus and I love coffee. So it's really good. But you got to get to an undistracted place. So for some of us, what that means is don't bring your phone. You go, but that's where I read my Bible out of. Buy a paper Bible. Because a paper Bible doesn't vibrate. It doesn't remind you of things that are due. It is possible to be focused without your phone, with your phone, but it's highly unlikely. But are you in an undistracted place? Only you can determine that. Maybe it's having music playing. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's lighting a candle, having incense or whatever, being in a favorite chair. I got a favorite area I like to be in. I got my cup of coffee and I sit in a certain corner. I got a certain lamp on and I got my Bible here and my Kindle for spiritual books. And I'm in my little routine. And that's just like where I like to connect with God. You say, well, I nod off and I go sleep. Go for prayer walks. You will not fall asleep walking. But you got to get alert. Say, what? He went to a solitary place. Why? Because everyone's looking for you. If you're a mom of little kids, you know who the little people are. I know sometimes you go to the bathroom and lock the door because it's the only place you get peace. Maybe you can have a quiet time in there. I don't know. But you got to figure it out. You got to learn to be undistracted. If you're like me, being undistracted, like I was a science math guy, and so I could be hyper-focused on a math problem. I wouldn't eat. I was just, I got to solve this thing. Fix it. But then when it comes to connecting with Jesus, my mind would wander. And what I do is I tend to cycle on thoughts. The hamster running on the wheel. The thought, and the thought, and the thought, and the thought. And it's hard for me to stay focused on one thing because my mind's thinking about a whole bunch of different things.
It's like if I tell you, do not think about a pink elephant, stay focused on me. You're like, oh, I got a pink elephant in my head and I'm trying to pay attention to your sermon and I got this pink elephant. It's like, okay, you're human. But no matter what's going on, it's a learned behavior. I tried to be undistracted and I failed. It's okay. It takes practice. But Jesus went off because he knew people who were looking for him. The bottom line of these practicals is you got to get to a space and a place at a time where you have your best possible chance to be focused. Now, that's not going to solve what's going on the inside and up here. But it gives you the opportunity to hear those voices and listen to those things and do that work. Remember, you have a choice of what source you're going to drink from. So we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper together. And I don't want you to think about a year ago. I don't want you to think about the day you're baptized. I want you to be right here and right now. And what's going on in your life right here, right now? What opportunities for living differently has the cross and resurrection given you this week? What doors have been opened? Maybe before you felt powerless, but now you have hope. What has the cross and resurrection done? Or maybe, what missed opportunities did you have where you felt like God's Spirit was leading you in a different direction and you just didn't do it? Maybe just completely rebelled against it, or maybe you're just exhausted and you said, no, not today. And maybe this is a time where you can approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, the words of Jesus said, only one thing is needed. And we're going to have a great opportunity to do what Mary did, to just sit, to take a deep breath, to get rid of all the distractions. Don't think about the A5 Wagyu steak or what you're going to have for lunch. But just be right here in this place. And to be able to connect and focus for what the cross and the resurrection have accomplished in your life, what doors it opens, as we all drink from the best source. We all sit and make that choice to bring ourselves 100% focused on the cross and the resurrection. Let's learn from Mary and Martha, and let's hear the words of Jesus as we pray together that only one thing is needed. Let's bow. Father, what a joy it is to be in your presence. And Lord, I know that my mind races and I have so many different thoughts. And I'm grateful that without judgment, you just help me to be calm, come back to center, and think about the cross, the resurrection, the opportunities it provides, the places where I need mercy and grace in my life, Father, to function as my best self. I pray that you be with each one of us as we make those choices of how to live our life daily, that we make decisions of what is best. That we don't feel victims of circumstances, but we realize we have a choice to make. Help us to be calm and focused and be connected to you with all of our hearts. We're grateful for the cross and the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.